Well, hey, folks, we are here for this week's culture segment, and we are smack dab here at the Boundless Show in the country and in the world in the middle of Lent, observing the season. And so who better to bring on the show than our friend Aaron Damiani, who has written a book on the subject, believe it or not, and is a, is a lead pastor. So hopefully he has something good to say on the subject. So, Aaron, welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. Good to be here.
Great to have you here. He is, I just said he's a pastor, but basically Aaron is a lead pastor of Emmanuel Anglican Church in Chicago's Uptown neighborhood. He went to Moody Bible Institute and Wheaton, many friends in those institutions, and has written pretty regularly for Leadership Journal and Preaching Today. So he's kind of a weird guy. I'm going to say, okay, also, we got to give him some cred. He's or I don't know if this is cred or what, but he's also a friend of our friend Joshua Rogers. So those of you who love Joshua's writing and his contribution to The Boundless Show, we can legitimize Aaron alongside that because they're buds. So
right. Everything Joshua says, I can take credit for.
Right. That's good.
We probably talked about it in our prayer group. So
that's a good place to be. So, well, yes. Very cool. It is great to have you on the show. And this is going to be kind of fun because you are a, like I said, you're an Anglican pastor with tentacles into the more traditionally evangelical world. So what in the world is that about? That's going to be interesting. To discuss.
Yes. Can't wait to talk about that.
We'll just clear the elephant in the room. Well, we'll get into that a little bit. But I mean, it really is. I mean, how did you go from being educated at well-known evangelical institutions like Moody and Wheaton to life as an Anglican pastor? I mean, this sounds like a movie, some kind of movie script or musical.
It unfolded that way. It all started with a an argument when I was engaged with my fiance over Panera Bread. And we had different ideas of what we wanted out of church, and we kind of were approaching finding a church the same way we were approaching ordering lunch, which is our preferences. Except you can't. In some churches, you can get your preferences. They have two different kinds of services, but we were kind of coming from two different places, wanting different things out of church, and we were invited to an Anglican church, and we visited. And walked in and just were blown away. We did not expect this, but were blown away with just how powerfully the presence of God was there. It was something that rooted us deeply in the rhythms of the church calendar, but at the same time, it was just full of the Holy Spirit. The community was vibrant and welcoming. We just felt loved very strongly, even on the first Sunday. So we just followed the rabbit trail from there, and before you know it, several years later, I became a pastor of an Anglican church.
Huh. Okay, well, I think we need to back up here because, like I said, your book actually is on Lent. It's called The Good of Giving Up, Discovering the Freedom of Lent. And I'm going to be honest, we need some Lent 101 because I remember when I lived in Washington, D.C., I was going to work one day and all of a sudden there were just people passing me on the street and in public transportation who had ash on their foreheads. And I was like, this is Ash Wednesday, and I feel depressed, and these people are just entering a season of sadness and, whatever. Obviously, there wasn't any Mardi Gras leading up to it, so there wasn't even a balance. It was just people, all of a sudden, they had ash. So tell us, what in the world is Lent? What are some of the misconceptions about it? And why is there such the weirdness about it in the church today as a whole because of the different, perceptions that people have?
That's a great series of questions. Let's just start. I think it's helpful to start with a definition of Lent. Lent is a 40-day spiritual pilgrimage where we grow to become like Christ and also grow closer to Him in preparation for Easter. The way I like to think about Lent is it's a retreat with your first love on the way to the great wedding feast. It's getting back to the basics, stripping away all of the excess, and also gaining more of what He has to offer. So it's not a forced march. I think a lot of people think of Lent as it's a guilt-ridden forced march where you're feeling sorry for Jesus and you're feeling guilty and you're sort of maybe making up for the guilt of Mardi Gras by making yourself hungry or going without chocolate. And, you know, from that perspective, it would be pointless if it were forced and if it were just about trying to make God happy, which that's not how God works. So, you know, Lent is it's a sacred season that's set apart by different expressions of Christianity. In many ways, just to, you know, we can't prepare for Easter over a weekend. It takes a longer process for us to be prepared in heart and soul and even in body for what Jesus has to offer. I find that a lot of us are sort of caught off guard by Easter. It sort of feels like a company picnic. Everyone's supposed to show up and be happy and dress up and, you know, get the family picture, or, you know, get pictures with your friends and pastels. Go home and eat ham. Go home and eat peeps. and then pretty quickly forget about Jesus' resurrection. So our first year in a new church that practiced Lent, we just noticed that while we were preparing for our perfect, quote-unquote, perfect wedding and perfect honeymoon on a cruise ship, everyone else was preparing for Easter through Lent. And we were like, well, you know, we're not going to do it this year. It seems fine. I tell you what, you know, the wedding was fun and wonderful, and we went on the honeymoon. But I have to say that the glitz of the wedding and the luxury of being on a cruise ship, the joy of that, there's diminishing returns. It just wore off really quickly. But what we noticed was that the joy that people in our new church were experiencing when they were following Jesus during Lent was, I mean, it was just overflowing. And I had never seen an Easter celebration like I saw it at this new church. And a big part was because people were ready. So from my own experience, you know, I didn't grow up doing Lent, and I was suspicious of it and felt defensive even when people just talked about what they were giving up, mm-hmm. or, you know, what sacrifices they were making to prepare for Easter. I was like, well, why do you have to do that? But I noticed that, oh my goodness, their joy was deeper and richer and fuller, and no one was forcing them to do it. So we decided to give it a try ourselves the following year, and then every year it's gone a little deeper for us, and now we invite our kids along and a church community as well.
Yeah. So talk to us a little bit about what it looks like from personal experience to experience Lent, because I think a lot of people, you know, the naysayers are like, well, Aaron, shouldn't we just be close to Jesus every day of the year? Like, why is this, you know, right. why is this so special? So what are you actually doing? Like, walk us through the season, what this looks like.
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, it starts actually with vision. You have to, you know, go to Jesus before a sacred season and just say, you know, Jesus, what ways are you calling me to become like you this particular Lent? And I find it's helpful to read the scriptures, maybe read the Sermon on the Mount, ask him for something specific. Just say, I want to be your apprentice here. I want to be your disciple. And let him point out maybe there's an ongoing sin that you want to give over to him, or a pattern of judgment, or maybe you want to prepare your hearts for Easter, you know, grow in spiritual hunger. One, you know, specific virtue he's calling you to. And then what you do then is you orient all of the disciplines of Lent, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, they all weave together to train you to become like Christ in that particular way. And they have other benefits as well. There's no controlling this, but what it feels like along the way from there is it usually starts off with a bang. People are really excited about it. And then about right in the middle of Lent, is sort of a season where you're getting tired of missing out on dessert or on that glass of wine, or when Wednesday or Friday comes around and you've committed to fasting that day, it's boring, it's mundane, it's sometimes annoying. But along the way, what happens is as you're participating with Christ in a deeper way, that over the weeks you find a greater spiritual freedom. That in fact your appetites begin to serve your Christian journey rather than the other way around, and that there's actually, in ways that you can't even control, sometimes spontaneous, greater love for God, you know, just welling up within your heart, within your church community, within your small group, and you realize, wow, like before Lent started, there were some desires that felt like they were in charge, that they were controlling me, and I felt numb inside. And along the way, and especially as we get into, you know, the week of where we're celebrating Palm Sunday and Good Friday and Easter Sunday, the expectation starts to grow, and we realize we are on our way with Christ to Jerusalem. And, you know, I can't wait for Easter now. Before, it was a passing thought. It caught me off guard. But now I'm hungry for God. And I actually realized along the way, because I've failed at Lent and I've, you know, fallen short of the vision, that actually I really need God in a way I didn't know before. So it kind of brings you to an end of yourself. It reveals the grouchiness inside. It reveals the the inner rebel, as I like to call it, the inner rebel that does not like the Christian vision. And then, boy, you're just ready to partake in the Easter feast.
Yeah. I like how you say in describing it as a, quote, springtime for the soul. It is, you know, because it does kind of bring about that spring cleaning kind of mentality.
Yes.
And you describe it as making room for growth. Should you use the time? I mean, it sounds like you're saying using the time for introspection in the sense of what are those areas that need growth and maybe what might be hindering that. Is it a continuum then that you can lead out after Easter then through the rest of the year?
It is. I do find that it affects the rest of the year. Now, Lent is a fasting season, generally speaking, but it gives way to a feasting season. Mm-hmm. And so there's a sense of rejoicing in Easter, and it's actually longer than Lent. It's 7 weeks, so 50 days of a feasting, as it were. But I do find that the virtues stick with you. And also, I think, you know, when you've tasted the reality of Jesus Christ, and when you have made him you've trained and in some ways like we train for a race, or we've trained for a new job, you know, we pick up skills, we become a different kind of person. And I do find that what happens in Lent, as long as Christ is the center of it, that we become the kind of person who values Jesus above all things. And it's not perfectly, it's not completely, but like Paul says, you know, the one thing that I want, I'm pressing on towards the goal, the upward call of God in Christ. And I do find that each year there's a sense of progression, and there's also a growing Christian maturity that happens not only in us individually, but also, you know, in churches and in small groups that choose to follow Christ in this way.
Yeah. And how can you go about, like, say you attend, you know, a mainstream church that doesn't observe Lent, yeah, or you kind of feel like you're alone in this. What's mm-hmm. a way to make it both personally meaningful, but also to bring in a sense of community and maybe introduce others to it?
Yeah, it's a great question, because a lot of us are in that spot. You know, I think that sometimes we're too shy in asking for spiritual help from people in our church, from small group leaders, from pastors, people in our life. And, you know, one of the things that you can do is you can begin to walk the journey of Lent, and then you can share the struggles with other people and share the joys with other people. And if you sense that there's someone who's not going to take offense to the invitation, you can make the invitation and be like, does anyone want to practice this with me? You don't even have to call it Lent. Maybe you just call it an extended retreat with Christ, or just a season of devotion. You want to practice it with me, and let's share together, you know, the joys and the struggles of following Christ. And this is something that Joshua Rogers and I did. This is what forged our friendship so strongly, was that for a couple years we met together regularly, and we shared the joys and the struggles of following Christ. And so I find that personal example is very disarming for people. Mm-hmm. And they can see the authenticity of what you're doing, that it's not works righteousness, you're not trying to make God happy, that you really just want to know Christ, and you want to invite him in places that only other desires or addictions sort of the junk food of the culture is taking up space. You want Christ to take up space. When they see that, it's very disarming, and it's intriguing, and I think it creates a space for people to join you.
Yeah. So what, like, we actually had our discussion, our roundtable on this week's show, we actually talked about Easter itself and the idea, exactly what you were saying earlier about it just kind of happens upon us, and then we're caught off guard, and do we have a new outfit, and are we eating Peeps or waiting till they're half price or whatever?
Exactly. I wait till they're half price.
What would you say? Not that, you know, we're not against eating Peeps in conjunction, but not, you know, after you've broken your fast or whatever. Okay.
Right.
But
right.
All that to say, what should then, what are you saying as far as Lent? Talk to us a little bit about after Lent and about Easter. Like what, how should it draw our focus towards the celebration of Easter Sunday and then moving into that feasting season? What will we gain from that?
Oh my goodness. I mean, I think what happens is you get a taste for heaven. And when you get a taste for heaven, you just, everything else loses that sense of power. I think that Easter Sunday is, in many ways, we go hungry on purpose because we believe that when Jesus said he would satisfy us with bread from heaven, that he would satisfy us with the living water, that he was telling the truth. And, you know, for years I didn't believe Jesus. I did, but then there was this part of me, my appetites, I didn't treat my appetites as if Jesus could satisfy them. And so I think we go into Easter Sunday, we go every Sunday to church, because every Sunday is a feast day, even during Lent. And we go with this expectation of Jesus, this might be a mundane service, I may not feel fulfilled, but I am coming in faith that you, by the power of your resurrection, can satisfy my longings in a way that nothing else on earth can. I'm turning from the creation to the Creator, and I'm looking for you to restore my soul. And I think another thing that happens in Easter and Eastertide, you know, Easter Sundays that follow, is that our commitment to the community of heaven is restored. I think that, you know, Lent, in some ways, if you think about Lent, is training for Easter. Yeah, Lent is getting us ready for Easter. Lent's getting us ready for the feast. It's getting us ready for that rejoicing. That Easter, in many ways, is a preparation for heaven because we're learning how to party again, but we're learning how to rejoice again. We're learning to see beauty through the prism of Jesus Christ again. And so, you know, one of the things that our church does during Easter is, and Lent is a part of this because we have to prepare for it, is that visually speaking, it is the most colorful. And I don't mean this in a cheesy sense, but it's when some of the best art is displayed. It's when the most flowers are put in front. It's where the songs are the loudest. And again, it's not a forced thing. It's not like everyone's putting on pasty smiles. I think there's just a sense of overflow. So, you know, one of the ways that we can really take in the benefits that Easter has in terms of the transformation of our souls is by opening up our appetites, showing up, rejoicing with all our hearts. And you will find that Lent, you know, the repentance of Lent and the rejoicing of Easter really are hand in glove.
That's a good point. I think it's so, you know, not that everyone that does this has to give up like social media or whatever. Not that that probably sure. wouldn't be a good idea, but but it does. It just helps turn the tables on the trivial nature of so many things we're caught up in throughout the year.
Yes.
Of just, you know, am I being seen? Am I famous? Is someone, mm-hmm. do I feel liked? Do I feel, you know, we're just talking mm-hmm. about the latest shows and the latest whatever trends and stuff like that. And I think it just really brings us back to something that is not only historic, but eternal. And truly, you know, moving backwards and forwards and uniting us with the church, you know, throughout the ages, which is,
that's right.
Which is a super great place to be. So, all right. Well, Aaron, thank you so much for shedding some light on this and kind of bringing it full circle, giving us some insight. Folks, the book is The Good of Giving Up, Discovering the Freedom of Lent. I've been talking to our friend Aaron Damiani here, who is a pastor in an Anglican church, has observed Lent on a number of different levels. The book, actually, this week is our featured resource. So for a gift of any amount, we would love to get this book in your hands because I know you don't know anything about Lent, people. So grab a copy of it. Give one to your friends as well. Make sure that you know what in the world you're even talking about when people start bringing this up. So and you still have, maybe you've already chosen to in your own way observe Lent and are in the midst of it, but certainly can give you some great insight as we head into the Easter season and celebration. So go to boundless.org. You'll see the resource there and we'll get a copy to you. Thanks, Aaron.
Thank you so much, Lisa.